They are not frivolous with spending. They do a good job of controlling costs. They're sensitive to what that means when they spend more money. But you also have a community that you have to, you know, an organization you have to run.
City and county governments are preparing their 2024 budgets. Grow Hayes Executive Director Doug Williams stops by to talk about the process on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Basically, you know, each year the local governments, each of them, prepares a budget, and they start this process in July, approve their budgets. I think it's by the 15th of September or something like that. Which is what they think it's going to cost them to operate in 2024. They're always looking ahead. So they're working on their 2024 budgets right now, which will go into effect January 1st. And it's, as you can imagine, just like any business might be, it's a big business. The local governments they have a lot of employees. They have a lot of stuff going on. So it's a pretty involved process. But they go through this process and determine what all their costs are going to be. And then when the evaluations come out, which they've come out, but the county appraiser and clerk certify evaluations, I believe it's in November or something like that, thus producing that they can determine what the mill levy is going to be. And they know now roughly what the valuation is going to be. And basically, they divide the budget into the mill levy, and that determines how many mills that each organization is going to need to operate to run their business, basically. And so there are multiple components to this. Obviously, how much they spend, how much the mill levy is, what the valuations are determines the mill levy. And each one can affect the other. Another, each one can affect the ultimate property tax that you're assessed. And so that's kind of the process that goes through. We won't know exactly what individual property taxes will be until November when the valuations are certified, but we have a pretty good idea now. We know valuations are up, and I've said this before on this program, that because valuations go up doesn't necessarily mean your property taxes go up, because if valuations go up, and the government entities spend exactly what they spent last year, your mill levy should go down. But we're in an inflationary time, and there's no way that they can operate on the same amount they did last year. So the end result is going to be, yes, there probably will be increases in property taxes.
Well, that's not good news, Doug. Thanks for sharing that.
Well, I want to make sure that I've been accused before of coming on and saying that we're not going to have an increase in property taxes when I have said that a increase in valuation does not necessarily mean that you're going to have an increase in property taxes. And people have taken that to mean, well, my property taxes aren't going to go up. And that's not the case. I think we can fully expect that given the inflation and that type of thing we have, you know, local governments are not immune from inflationary pressures either. It costs more to buy materials to fix roads. It costs more to employ people for fire, police, all of those type of things. And so when those costs go up, that has to be passed on to the taxpayers.
Yeah, and I think we're hearing that, right? I know especially we had a couple Ellis County officials in the show here on the show last week, and that's kind of what they said was they really wanted to keep spending the same, but it's just really not possible.
It's not. And I believe, you know, I'm pretty close to it. I see it pretty much on a daily basis that our elected officials do a good job of controlling costs. And our staff, whether it's county in the cities, they are not frivolous with spending. They do a good job of controlling costs. They're sensitive to what that means when they spend more money. But you also have a community that you have to, you know, an organization you have to run. And so that takes some dollars, and the type of inflationary environment we're in now, it's going to take more dollars next year than it did this year.
Yeah. And, you know, Hayes has kind of a unique approach, I think, to projects like the roundabouts they're building right now and other works projects. Maybe you want to talk a little bit about that, because I know it's different and also kind of keeps us on what they say, a little bit better footing for some unexpected expenses.
Well, I think what you're referring to is the city of Hays and the citizens of Hays a number of years ago voted to fund the general fund with sales tax dollars instead of property tax levy. And so that has allowed the city of Hays to leave their property tax levy at about 25 mils since 10, 12 years ago, whenever that was, that we voted to fund those things with sales tax. And it's worked out very well thus far because sales tax have continued to increase, and we do draw sales tax from a wider area. So it's shifted a little bit of that burden off of the citizens of Hays in this case and onto the broader region, whoever people who pass through and buy things and that kind of thing. So that is one way in which the city of Hays is somewhat unique. And that is one of the reasons why our mill levy, while it's up from what it was a few years ago, the overall mill levy for Ellis County last year, I think it was 120 mils or 121 mils. That's still one of the lowest in the state. One of those reasons is because of how the city of Hays funds their general fund with sales tax versus property tax levy. If they didn't do it that way, you know, our mill levy would probably be another 10 or 15 mils higher than it is.
Yeah, I'm curious why other cities, especially out here in the region, and I'm thinking like maybe Colby, Dodge City, why don't they have a similar system if it's working for us?
Well, one of the reasons it works for us is because we are a regional trade area and we do draw a lot of dollars. You know, we always are one of the highest communities in the state in terms of pull factor, but so is Colby and so is Garden. And so why they choose not to do that, I don't know. It does take a vote. The community had to vote and approve that. And the people of Hays, this is Hays we're talking about in particular here, did vote to change that. But it can be a two-edged sword, because if sales tax receipts for whatever reason would go down or not be as robust as you were hoping it would be, then you've got a problem with your budget. So when you can assess, it's a different story. You know, you can, if costs go up, you just raise your mill levy. Now there are, the state legislature puts things in place, the revenue neutral rate. If you're going to spend more this year than you did last year at some level, you have to notify the taxpayers. You've got to do a public notice and that kind of thing. But basically, you can assess that through a tax levy. You can't just increase sales tax arbitrarily. That takes a vote of the taxpayers.
Yeah, and I think from what I've seen over the last 20 years in this kind of a position, they really do try to keep that or avoid having to send out that R&R and the revenue neutral rate notice.
They do, but it's everybody's sending them out now.
Yeah.
It's really kind of an unnecessary expense to state trying to a little bit have their thumb on things when they really can't control it. You know, we talk about local control a lot. And I'm not going to get into politics here, but everybody wants local control until you have local control. And then it's a different story. And so there was a lid that the state had imposed and you couldn't go over a certain amount. They took that off because it caused some problems. They put in this revenue neutral rate, but I question the effectiveness of it, really, particularly in an inflationary environment. It's almost impossible not to have to send those notices.
Let's move back to the budget a little bit. As the cities and county have kind of worked through this process, have you noticed anything surprising? I know we were talking a little bit before we went on air. This is usually a pretty routine process, but anything standing out for you?
Not that I have seen. I think it's pretty much routine. I know that it's a challenge for them each year because they have to make, you know, determine what priorities are and how they're going to handle certain things. And for a period of time, it might be roads are more important, and then you shift over to other priorities. I know they've looked at both the city and the county have looked at different ways that they handle their vehicle fleet. Used to be they would buy them and keep them for a certain period of time and then dispose of them and buy new ones. And I think now they've gone to lease arrangements. There's some more attractive ways to pay for those type of things. And so I think they're always looking for ways that they can be more efficient and make the dollars go further. But it's always a struggle.
Yeah, and I imagine it's hard, too, when you're talking about, say, organizations like Grow Haze, and you guys have to always go, and there's always a little presentation, and you talk about what you do. And when it comes to those nonprofits, you know, I think they probably find it difficult to say yes or no, because if there's an increase here, that means you're pulling from somebody else, et cetera.
Definitely outside agency spending is always a challenge for them. You know, when you're defining the role of what local government is supposed to do and how much of their mission is to assist outside agencies and help the community at large, it's always a balancing act that they have to go through. But, you know, I think we're blessed in Ellis County with staff at the county level, the city, all the cities. They have good staff. They've done this plenty of times before. They do a great job of preparation and presenting it to the commissioners so they can make these decisions. And it can be a challenging process, but they work their way through it.
Absolutely. Well, Doug, we've got less than a minute left. I know you've got an event coming up. I want to hit everybody or let everybody know about this once again. August 9th?
It is August 9th at 9 a.m. We're having our five-year anniversary celebration at Brief Space. Hard to believe it's been 5 years, but we're going to have kind of an open house ceremony to celebrate our fifth-year anniversary. It is National Co-Working Day, so very appropriately that we would have it on that day. And we would invite everybody down. And as I always say, I'm always amazed at the people who come in and say they haven't been in our facility before, because I thought everybody had. But if you haven't been to Brief Space, come down, give it a look. We'll give you a tour and eat a donut or whatever we're going to be having. And we'd love to see as many people as possible.